Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Welcome, L'chaim and all that jazz. Welcome back to the Nate Darling Show. It's after Thanksgiving. It's not really when we recorded the show, but it is after Thanksgiving now that you're hearing the show.
Can I talk about how fat I am? Because I know I will be. Well, oh, I ate so much.
So that was, we're working a little ahead now. At this point, everyone has heard our Thanksgiving episode, which was fantastic. Thank you again for downloading and listening to that. I love talking in the future about things that haven't happened yet.
Well, we don't have a best of yet, so we can't do best of shows. We can't just put it on autopilot while we're on vacation.
Well,
we have to actually do the work.
I'm going to do the work every show, and that's kind of my promise to the listeners. Is Larry's gone? Larry is still actually, as you're hearing this, Larry is in either Spain or the Azores, somewhere in Europe, and Mel went back to Ohio for Thanksgiving.
Yeehaw!
As you're hearing this show, she is probably still there. I'm hanging out somewhere. As you're hearing the show, I'm in Sacramento. That's pretty much what I can guarantee you. I am in Sacramento. And, you know, we're going to give you a new show every week. That is my promise to you, the listener, that we will entertain you every week with a new show. And it will be free.
So, amen.
No matter what else happens, there will be a new, free Nate Darling show every week. And here's my other promise. Every show will include me.
Awesome.
So we've had shows without Mel and we've had shows without Larry, but there will never be a show without me.
That would be weird.
It would be.
The Nate Darling Show. Sans Nate Darling.
Well, I think the biggest reason is no one else knows how to work the equipment or upload the podcast. So that's kind of the biggest thing. So welcome Mel. Welcome everybody. And welcome back our friend Kareem Daniels.
Yay. Hello.
That doesn't
Kareem
sound
Kareem with a sexy, sexy mic voice.
That doesn't sound at all like Larry. At all.
No.
Just want to clear that up.
He just thought about doing a Larry for a second.
And then I just don't want to do that. Oh, do you want to hear? I can do an impression of sexy Kareem. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Hi, everybody. This is Kareem. It's my sexy black guy voice, and it's really good to be here. I've got a giant penis, and everybody knows it because I'm a black guy.
Okay, sorry.
Wow, that was awesome.
That's the first time we've broken out.
Kareem, that sounded just like you.
I know, it's terrible. that's what Kareem's inner monologue is like.
Yes, do you walk around town going, I have a giant penis because I am a black guy?
He doesn't have to, he knows it.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't have to deal with that.
Gonna need you to get a little closer to the mic, Kareem.
I said, well, you know it, you don't have to deal with it.
It just is.
It just is.
There's no one questioning it.
Hey, have we gotten any emails from overseas? I've been wondering how our foreign listeners are doing.
Well, we did. I'm going to get to those a little bit later
good.
In the show. We have a lot of people in Africa emailing us about banking things.
Again.
We've got a couple of new ones. So.
People really want to do business with us.
They do. They want to give us money just to have us hold on to their money for a while. It's like being a bank ourselves.
Right.
So that's kind of where we are. I want to thank all of our listeners who are listening on NateDarlingShow.com and on iTunes and, of course, on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can hear our shows. Well, the last five of them, I think, are the ones that are on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones, on demand or on the go. Hey, if you don't have Stitcher, download it for free today at Stitcher.com or go to the App Store for your phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, it is the smarter way to listen to radio.
Man, I love that when you do that.
And the cool thing about Stitcher is this, and I know that some of the big-name podcasts are creating their own apps, so they're kind of leaving Stitcher, and we're kind of new to Stitcher, but, I mean, we're the little show that could. So people are finding us more and more, and we got a few listeners on Stitcher, and everybody that exposed to the show, that's great. And the cool thing about Stitcher is if you're going around from place to place, and you listen to part of the show and you go, okay, well, I'm where I'm going. I have to close the app and go back. When you go back and open the app again, it picks up right where you left off. So you don't have to shuttle through and try and find it. So that's kind of
awfully
a cool
handy.
Thing. It is. So they are a partner. Thanks also to Huge Entertainment for the gear. It's the microphones, the mic stands.
We love Huge. H-U-G.
Hit their link on our website, natedarlingshow.com, and find out how they can make your next event the event of a lifetime.
Yeah.
That's not their slogan. I just made that up.
I liked it.
I know. It's kind of how we roll. Excuse me one second. Mel, say something.
Something. Oh, my God.
Sorry,
I think somebody might have just killed someone in the room.
Just had to clear my throat.
Is that what that was?
I know. It's crazy.
That was terrifying.
I know. That's what happens when you cross through the space-time portal.
It was like you passed a Bezoar out of your body.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is.
It's a big clump of stuff.
Ah, okay. Excellent. Now, this is a very... And we're very happy to have Kareem back because... One, Kareem's a very bright guy, and we only have bright people in the show, except for that one time. I love saying that because everyone's going to get all nervous about it. Was it me? Even people who haven't been on the podcast will be like, he's talking about me. See, and I made that joke when Nick Pettigrew sat in, and now Nick's going to hear this show and go, is he talking about me? So welcome back, Kareem. And so we're recording this show. Little behind the scenes. We're recording the show on October. Yeah.
Wow.
We're way ahead. On November 15th. So if anything seems dated, it's because it's a couple weeks old. So eat it. It's a free show.
And we can't look into the future. We cannot talk about current events because we're not there yet. We don't have a time machine.
Well, we're going to talk a little. We're going to start talking a little NFL. And this came right from Kareem's Facebook. So I was really stoked. And Kareem posed this question to the world on Facebook today. If they had to change the playbook for Cam Newton the way they have to for Tim Tebow, what would they be saying? Now, I don't know who they are. Sounds kind of like a racist term, Kareem. Who are they? What are you talking about there?
Well, actually, because everybody's actually been pretty hard on Tebow. The real critics
right.
have been. But just thinking about it, what other quarterback would allow to be still playing right now as a quarterback? If they had Tim Tebow stats.
Right. I mean, what...
Like Cam Newton would be a tight end or wide receiver right now if he had... If he only completed two passes in a game.
Well, he only tried eight, to be fair. And he won in the game against the Chiefs. No, I know what you're saying, and it goes back to not that long ago when there were no African-American quarterbacks in the NFL, or there was one. I mean, for the longest time, when I first started watching football, and this was forever ago, Doug Williams was a quarterback in Tampa Bay, and he later became the first African-American to win a Super Bowl as a quarterback with the Redskins. But for the longest time, Warren Moon, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback, went to the CFL to play in Canada because no one would give him a shot to play quarterback.
And he won the Rose Bowl the year that he graduated.
Right.
Passing the ball.
So there was a lot of that. I think it's a fair thing to bring up. Now, the whole Tim Tebow thing, people argue, well, he wins. And here the real reason is because they wasted a high draft pick on him and they have to play him because they're paying him the money. They need to know, are we actually going to be able to win with this guy or not? And the answer is, so far, inexplicably, I have no idea how, but they continue to win games.
Yeah, but they beat the Chiefs,
the Raiders,
and the Dolphins.
Right, two teams in their division and the Dolphins. And they barely beat them, too.
They beat three Division III.
They did not beat
college.
They did not beat good teams by any stretch of the imagination. But Cam Newton has not really won any games. He's putting up dynamite numbers. But not really in the wins column.
Defense. But.
Mel's very quiet on this.
He shows an acumen for playing the position.
You know, I know just enough to not be able to really interject. But, I mean, I know who we're talking about. And I've been watching the games. But I don't know enough about the technical stuff to really have any good input.
But, like, you say, you know, people say Tim Tebow was a winner. T. Martin was a winner.
Yes.
Like.
He won a national championship.
He won a national championship. Peyton Manning could never beat the University of Florida. T. Martin beat the University of Florida. T. Martin never started a football game in the NFL.
Right. Vince Young did. Vince Young, not a good quarterback either.
Yeah, but he's better than Tim Tebow.
He is. I will not dispute that. But I thought it was a fair point to bring up. I mean, we're not gonna solve that situation right now. Here's Mel's in a monologue on the whole thing right now.
Oh my God! Who the hell? Cares.
So I just thought we'd move on.
No, do you know what my inner monologue really was? I was doing this. Aaron Rodgers, 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 Aaron Rodgers. That was it. And then there was a few, like, you know.
Oh, hold on.
There's a little Dexter in the back of my head.
That's not the right one. Hey, everybody have a great Thanksgiving? I'm not tired of that yet. I may keep that. I may keep the turkey just because.
Fuck Thanksgiving.
Well, it's over now. We don't have to deal with it for several.
I'm sure I had a wonderful time visiting with my family in Ohio. I love them all so much.
I'm sure you did, too.
I had a great time watching all the football on television.
Exactly. Oh,
I'm actually looking forward to that part of it. And my dad's cooking.
Indeed. So now going from Tim Tebow, let's go to something more important than the NFL, the presidential race. And I have a question for you. Is Herman Cain getting a pass? And here's why. Let me go through a few things. And don't read anything into my term getting a pass. He is the guy who jokingly said Uzbeki Beki Beki Stan. He did not know that China had the nuclear bomb. And not only do they have it, they've had it since the 60s. He wears a pimp hat. He's referred to Nancy Pelosi as princess. She is, in fact, the highest ranking woman elected official in U.S. history. And then, of course, there's that creepy campaign ad where that was released just before the sexual harassment.
I can't stop watching that ad. It is so weird.
With his campaign manager smoking and blowing smoke right into the camera.
Well,
and then
it looks
he does
they filmed it in 74, though.
And then he does the slow turn and smile to the camera.
That's because he's proud of that black walnut.
So, and Rush, and I will check in with Rush Limbaugh, because if I'm going to criticize somebody, I'd kind of like to know what they're talking about. And Rush Limbaugh loves Herman Cain. Well, at least he did as of before Thanksgiving. He's been doing nothing but talking about how great Herman Cain is and about how people are being unfair to Herman Cain. And just as the morning that we taped this show, Herman Cain was doing an interview and he was very confused over a question on Libya. And it seems Nick Pettigrew knew more about Libya than Herman Cain did. And all he knew was that Gaddafi was anally raped with a knife.
Oh, jeez.
I think I know more about most of the Republican candidates about foreign policy, except for maybe John Huntsman.
That guy is brilliant and he has no chance, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate that seemingly the most qualified candidate is not even going to get a sniff of it.
You know, I know that these are human beings. They're not robots and they're not whatever.
Except Mitt Romney.
Yeah, right? It just seems like it would be nice to actually have a candidate that seemed like they knew what was going on and what was going on in the world. But it seems like anymore we're creating these weird, creepy Frankenstein monsters that by the time they get to this level, they're so ineffectual and so pointless and crazy that nobody would want them.
Well, the foreign policy was never in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
He's there because the Koch brothers bought and paid for him.
Right.
To ask him about something that he probably never cared about, it's also
a fair question of a presidential candidate.
Don't you have to start caring about all of this stuff?
Well, that's why he was trying to figure out which line where he heard something about Libya at. Because you know,
was it on Family Guy?
It's like, damn it, I know they briefed me on this shit.
Somebody told me something
Somebody
about
told
it.
Me something about it.
I don't understand that.
But and
was it Gaddafi? was Gaddafi? Is that the coffee? Is that something they sell at Starbucks or some shit?
And again, as we're recording the show on the 15th of November, his polling numbers are a little bit down, but not really that much. And this will be interesting to compare and contrast for people. Newt Gingrich was starting to steamroll up toward the top as we're recording this. How, I have no idea, because he's basically campaigning on, I haven't said anything stupid lately.
His campaign is a fucking infomercial.
Yeah.
I'm selling this book. My wife is, she's at a book signing here. That's all it is, infomercial. This is an infomercial for him. He is paying for, what is that, Tiffany's, where he had the big ass bill at?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He is buying his wife Tiffany's. He's campaigning for Tiffany's. That's it. So he can get some.
So back to the original question, do you think Herman Cain is getting a pass because he is African-American and people don't want to necessarily call out things that you would call, like
Everybody's doing stupid stuff and getting called out on it.
But
they're all idiots.
But he's really not getting called out to the
Michelle
same extent.
Bachman gets called out a lot.
He's not getting called out on it, not because he's an African American. It's because they want him to win.
Who's they? The liberal media?
No, the Koch brothers.
Oh, okay. No. I understand what you're saying now.
You say the liberal media is still owned by the people with the money.
Oh, of course.
The liberal media is owned by the one percenters.
Well, here's the other thing.
Don't get it twisted.
As someone who works for a TV station, a big corporation, the liberal media is a myth.
Exactly.
It's a complete myth that people like Rush Limbaugh have created to try and create this boogie monster that's out to get the Republican candidates. It doesn't exist.
This is how I know that the liberal media is a myth. If you ever watch a Democrat get interviewed by Matt Lauer as opposed to a Republican, it's a totally different interview.
Right.
He goes after them like they're the fucking enemy. He does. And if it's a Republican, they never really get the really hard questions. But if it's a Democratic person, he will go after their ass.
Well, yeah, because if you do, the next morning, Rush Limbaugh is ripping you a new one because you did this, and he's got an army of old people who are angry about things that are listening to him, and then it becomes part of the news cycle on Fox News, and it's this big self-perpetuating thing, this giant monster that feeds on itself. So that's kind of why that exists. So let me ask you this about the GOP candidates, the ones that are in the field today, and we're pretty much full up. I don't think anyone's going to be popping in at the last minute. Who do you think has the best chance of beating President Obama, who has, as of right now, the lowest approval rating of a sitting president going into a reelection in over 40 years?
None. There's nobody that they have that has a chance. Can you picture Michelle Bachman in a debate with Barack Obama?
Oh, God, no.
Who can you actually picture of the people they have on the stage? Who can you picture of them being in the debate with him?
Be able to debate him and do so well? I think the only two, I think Gingrich could actually debate him okay. Gingrich knows what he's talking about. He's just a little bit nutty, and he's been in the game for so long. I think Mitt Romney could do it because Mitt Romney is a smart guy. He would stick to his talking points. I think the guy that would do the best job against him, because he actually knows more than everybody else, is John Huntsman, but he has no chance.
Right.
So that leaves us with not Mitt Romney, which is who everybody keeps trying to push up toward the top, and it's just kind of confusing to me.
Do you remember the debate between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden?
Yes.
Where she never answered a question. All she did was stick to her talking points.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be every debate between Barack Obama and any other Republican.
Well, look forward to that, because that's coming for you in 2012, along with the end of the world.
You should ask Michelle Bachman, when is Marcus coming out of the closet?
Oh, that's not right. It may be true, but it is not at all right. So, all right.
I went back to Aaron Rodgers.
That's fine, Mel. We understand. You only work in the
Marcus Bachman makes Larry look butch.
Oh, and then my cat's gone.
Zippy's offended.
All right, so I had some nerd music for Nick Pettigrew when he came in and sat in for Larry, and I have Kesher music for Larry. So Kareem, I thought for you I would go in a similar vein, and as I ask you, Kareem, what is Kwanzaa? Thought we'd get a little shaft underneath that, because Larry was talking about Kwanzaa, and I honestly have no idea what Kwanzaa is, and I make the racist assumption that you do, not because you're black, but because you know things. Can you explain Kwanzaa to me? Because Larry thinks it's all just a sham. Is it a sham?
It's not a sham.
Is there a cornucopia involved?
Is it a sham wow?
No, it's not a sham, because I don't think Dr. Kawinga is making any money off of it.
Right.
It's a holiday that was invented by Dr. Kawinga. He's a professor of African studies at University of Long Beach in the 60s.
Okay.
During the Pan-African movement. And it was just a holiday that was kind of like something that was antithetical to Christmas and the commercialism of Christmas. And it was something to remind black people of their African roots and of community. So there are like seven principles of Hanukkah. It's celebrated like December 26th through January 1st. So on each day, there's a different principle, and you're supposed to do something to celebrate each principal for that day.
Okay, you said Hanukkah. That's probably just a slip of the tongue.
Kwanzaa. Oops.
I know. I was like, wait, because that's not when Hanukkah falls.
So basically, they stole it from the Jews. Go on, Kareem.
Well, the Jews stole everything from Africa, so.
Musical interlude. Go on, finish up, because I actually do want to know, and I'm sure
So what are some of the principles?
Wait a second. The principles are Umojo, which is unity, Kujichagulia, which is self-determination, Ujamaa, collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa, corporate economics, Nia, purpose, Kumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. And then you're supposed to give, like, handmade gifts on each of those days as opposed to, you know, something you bought from the store.
It reminds me of all kind of when everyone tries to get back to the roots of all religions, which is do the right thing, remember the purpose of why you're here on the planet kind of stuff. And it's just another reminder for that kind of stuff.
And that's the purpose. It's not something to get. Like I said, it's not, he's not making a ton of money off of it.
No.
There are a lot of people that have taken it up and practiced it just because of the reason you said. But it's not like, it's not Christmas.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to ask, because one of the things we do here is, in addition to making fun of stuff and playing the theme from Shaft underneath you as you're talking about a serious topic, is we actually want to know shit.
Yeah.
You know, people go, that's not, you know, we've talked about a lot of stuff on the show. Like, we've talked about the whole Penn State thing, which I'm sure is still playing out, because it's just going to for months and months, and people want to know shit. So we're going to talk about Kwanzaa. We're going to talk about what we want to talk about, so eat it.
Yeah, it's not celebrating somebody's birthday who probably was born 3 months earlier if he was born at all.
No comment from the Jew.
Look, happy Xmas, everybody. It's coming up.
That is true.
It's happy Xmas.
Happy Festival of Mithras.
I'm actually next week, as the podcast will be coming down, next week I'm going to New York City for some work related stuff, so that's going to be fun. I am looking forward again to seeing the big tree at Rockefeller Center and seeing New York City decked out for Christmas. I am not looking forward to how effing cold it is in New York City in December.
Freezing his nuts off.
And I don't really have any. I mean, when I moved to California, I had a few. I mean, I've got boots and I've got gloves, but I don't really have a winter jacket anymore per se. So I'm like, what am I? Do I buy a winter jacket for a 3-day trip that I'm never going to need again?
Thrift store.
Because I don't go up to Tahoe and play. I mean, I grew up in the snow. I don't need to go visit it. I mean, I know what it's like. It's white, it's fluffy, and it's cold as hell.
See, I'm always cold, so I have the same winter coats and I still wear them that I wore when I lived in Ohio.
So.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. I mean, I felt like a wuss because I was wearing fleece around when it was in the, you know, upper 40s. I'm like, oh. Because I know back in Vermont, when it gets into the 40s, people are running around in T-shirt and shorts.
I'm always cold.
That's kind of how it goes.
Now I know why you ain't going home for Thanksgiving.
Well, and it's a flight, so that's the other thing. All right, so moving on with the show, we're moving past the serious stuff, and this I found really amazing because we're in the holiday season, and we found 14 luxury sex toys for the extremely rich and creepy. And you know what? That's great.
I have so many questions about the first one, by the way.
The number 14, the gold-plated prostate massager.
Yes.
And it comes with matching cufflinks, which is the funny thing. It's like, why are there cufflinks going on with this? It's $990. Now, at first blush, it's just an 18-karat gold-plated door handle, but then you read the description, gentleman's pleasure
so
object.
So what exactly are the cufflinks? Are they like advertisements for the company? Do they say, I like prostate massagers? What are the cufflinks exactly? Are they little mini prostate massager things?
One end of them looks like the handle that would remain outside of your body as you're using it, and the other end has like the company name on it. It's very strange. And
Zowie.
So what do you do? Are you like at the club and you flash him at another guy so he knows that you're into Lilo?
It reminds me of some of that kind of stuff. Like, you know, you have this certain thing hanging out of your pocket or whatever to advertise what you're into.
Well, this is the ad that they have. It's show them you're a man of means, action, taste. Show them you're a man who masturbates with a golden shoehorn up his ass. is the joke at. It does. It looks a lot like a shoehorn.
Yes, it does.
A little bit.
You just see the guy at the bar, and he just like popping his cufflinks. if you want to stick a shoehorn up my ass.
It also comes with an elegant wooden gift box and a satin pouch for stylish storage.
See, I think that's strange, too, because, I mean, okay, I understand if you're going to use that for yourself, but who gift boxes that and gives it to somebody? Like, look what I got you. Merry Christmas.
I don't know. A couple who's somebody very into
that's
things.
Into what you're into.
Exactly. Moving along, it's a silver butt plug with a horsetail for a cost of $3,475. Now, you thought the gold prostate massager was the most expensive luxury good made to stick in your butt? Nay, I say.
Horsetail humor.
The unicorn butt plug is made with actual horse's mane, providing you with maximum realism.
Because that's a whole fetish. That's a whole fetish. The horsey training thing.
And it looks like an auger drill bit that you would use to burrow through a mountain, but apparently you put it in your butt. Moving on. I'm just going to keep going through here because we're going to be here all day and
the
we don't want to.
Candy mountain.
Here's one for the ladies. The platinum vibrator with encrusted diamonds. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
I know, but I don't want to lose one in my hoo-hoo.
You don't want that. Yeah, it's, boy, it is the decadent platinum vibrator encrusted with 28 diamonds. Wow.
For $3,300, it better,
Do you want me to wait till you're done with all of these to give you my real opinion about this, or should I go now?
Well, why don't we get at least halfway through before you sound off? Now, apparently, it's not just going toward the stones, the $3,300. It's paying for the, quote, proprietary technology that's helping the vibrator, quote, redefine the context and perception of sexual well-being.
I want to know what that means.
Well, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
That's true.
I don't know what that means either. Moving on. This one's a relative bargain for $350. Gold handcuffs.
Mommy likey.
Well, as a former police officer, Mel, what wouldn't the stylish cop with a fetish want more than some gold handcuffs that say, I'm into it, but I'm not going to use my work ones on you?
I can't think of anything I'd like more.
How about some luxury gold flake massage oil? This one's actually a relatively cheap thing. It's only $45 a bottle.
Wow, it's a bargain.
It has also a proprietary formula. Apparently everything is a proprietary formula. It is tantalizingly soft and sensually scented with scents like balsam fir and bergamot.
So it's not like the body glitter that the strippers put on?
No.
I don't know. It could be. Number nine, and this one, we're going to go back up the expensive route. It's the sterling silver and cherry wood spanking rod.
Ooh.
We're told the spanker's anatomic handle improves its grip and overall balance.
Pow!
Seriously? $3,000 on a stick to whack somebody in the ass.
Okay.
That's $3,000.
I think Mel has to change her panties right now.
I want one.
Well, maybe a little bit more budget conscious. The crystal handled whip.
Oh, my.
It's only $290, and it's a crystal handled whip with a feminine answer to the cherry wood spanking rod. So it's the other side. The site calls it the ultimate in feminine domination.
Meow.
The crystal handle will add to the air of dignity as you pretend your lover is an obstinate mule while you ride him around the bedroom.
Hey, does it really say that?
Well, that's not there. That's the site I'm reading it on. It's from cracked.com.
I totally thought you just made that up off the top of your head. I was very impressed.
If we start saving now, we know what to get Mel for birthday next year.
Yeah.
Next year, maybe we'll have a drive.
Fundraiser.
I'm not quite sure what this thing is, but it's called a gold. Oh, it's a gold tickler. A gold tickler. So you can tickle your gold. It's $4,500. It's made of 18 karat gold and marabou feathers. Wow. It does look like a duster, though.
It looks like where the Who's lived from Whoville and Horton Hears a Who.
I'll never see Dr. Seuss the same way again.
Did you see the bird it came from?
Yeah, it's not a sexy bird at all.
No.
It is not. It looks like a dirty stork is really...
It looks like a vulture and a stork did it.
Yeah, it looks like a crack whore stork is what it looks like. Luxury condoms, that's $28.
What makes a condom luxury?
Well, according to the creators of Naked Condoms, these are the, quote, finest condoms in the world. They talk about the craftsmanship and technology.
Are they made out of something magic?
It says Naked spent over 3 years in research and development designing the foil. The challenge was to eliminate the unpleasant design found in standard condoms and to allow the foil to tear easily from either direction while maintaining the integrity of the packaging.
Does it kill all the sperm?
Well, condoms, to be fair, they just catch them. They don't actually kill
unless
them.
Unless they have non-oxidal nylon.
They may have some of that.
For $28, it better kill the motherfuckers.
Well, indeed. Well, it's $28.
With a machete.
It's just
each 20, one individually.
Individually. Well, what if it's a box, that's not a bad price. Number five, and I don't really understand. Almost $1,600 for the masturbation mirror.
I don't get it.
I don't understand either. It's
women don't even look at their hoo-has.
I know it's they don't
Besides,
even want to know it exists.
I mean, just a plain old handheld from Walgreens should do the trick.
Well, and that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like a round makeup mirror. It looks like it's about 4 or 5 inches. I don't get it. People are idiots. Pearl anal beads, $430 to jam some pearls in your butt, whatever. If you want to go all, if you're one of those people who likes to explore the mysteries of the Orient, for $135, you can get a jade cock ring.
It better be good jade, because crappy jade cracks, and that could hurt.
Well, that's what it says in the advertisement.
Crappy jade cracks. So that's why it's $130. Yeah.
Oh my God! What is that?
Mel didn't preview the show. These are animal masks, Mel. They're $450, and they're all about role playing. And these aren't just regular masks. They have names like the terrifying silver dog. It has metal ears and a metal snout. It's really really creepy.
These look like torture devices. What? I mean, it's sort of sexy, but in a creepy, scary kind of way.
Well, that one did. This one just sort of looks like...
Something from Saw. It looks like if she doesn't get the key, her face will explode.
Actually, it looks more like headgear that you would have to wear with a retainer. but with
ears.
But with leather ears, if you want to go that way. And then this one, it sort of looks like the FTD florist delivery system. So, Mel, just before we get to the last thing, which is not the most expensive, by the way, it's just... got the coolest name. Mel, what is your opinion of all of these really expensive sex toys?
You know, when I first started thinking about it, you know, A, I'm kind of cheap, and B, I'm sort of the mind that if it gets you off, why do you need to spend all this money when you can find something that does it for nothing? But then after giving it some thought, I thought, you know, I'm also the kind of person that buys, you know, a Toyota instead of a Bentley. You know, I believe, you know, form and function over, you know, fanciness. But if you're somebody that likes fine things and you're into cars and you buy a Bentley and you can afford it, I'm not going to spite you that. So if you're somebody that likes sex toys and that's what you want to put your money into and you have the money, I can't judge somebody for that. Like, I get it. Like, I know people that like really nice jewelry. I know people that like really nice cars. If this is your thing, I decided after giving it some thought that you know, God bless you. Get what you want.
I have you brought that up about people wanting expensive things, and I'm sorry again, Kareem. This is going to come off as horribly racist, but do you think there's a guy in the hood named Leroy who really would like a jade cock ring but can't afford one, but so he buys a plastic one and colors it in with like a green Sharpie?
No,
it's like
brother's like what the fuck is a cock ring?
Okay, there's a gay brother named Leroy who.
But I mean, honestly, everybody has their thing. Girls like really expensive purses. If that's your thing, I could say wanting, you know, I want the best version of whatever it is, or I want this fancy version because I can afford it, because I can.
True. And also, no one thinks your Chrysler 300 is a Bentley. I just wanted to throw that out there. Number one on the expensive sex toy parade is something called the Thrill Hammer, which is awesomely funny.
Okay, see, I can't really see that far to see what that is, so I'm just waiting for the description because I'm scared.
Well, it may
you should be.
It's actually a teledildonic machine that
what?
Looks. What?
I want you to say that one more time, please.
Teledildonic machine.
Wonderful.
That honestly, it really looks like a penis missile hidden under a postmodern coffee table. It weighs 700 pounds.
I'm coming over to look.
Yeah, and as crack.com says, it could just as easily be the winning project at the Rapist Science Fair as a high-end sex toy.
You might as well put a dildo on a
it's something. I mean, there it is. It looks like it's on like a, it's weird, like a scissor lift. And
I don't understand how it works. Can you explain exactly what would happen with a person being next to that thing? Where do you go and where does it go?
I have no idea.
It looks like you should bend over in front of it.
I don't know what,
like on all fours.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That's
what
it looks like.
Let me go to the Thrillhammer website here and oh, welcome to the Thrillhammer. wow.
If there's video, I'm in.
No, there's... It's,
I'm kidding.
This
gross.
Is weird. They were at the Seattle Erotic Art Festival. Oh, it's art. So it's really probably more art than anything.
But you've seen those ones where it's like a dildo on a... what is it? A screw? Power tool.
You see
saw.
Cases of the couples going to the hospital for that shit.
Yeah, well, that's it's like that, but like mounted to a drill press.
I did when I was in the Czech Republic go to one of those museums that has all the sex and domination toys, and they had one of those things where you strap the. Oh dear Lord, Nate.
There's
pictures on the screen that just went by, and I'm a little traumatized. Where they strap the girl to like the chair, and then the penis comes up and like forces or whatever. Pretty fascinating, sick shit.
Sure. What else would you do in the Czech Republic? Really? I mean, why would you explore the architecture of the region or anything of that nature?
I did that too, you fucker.
Anyway, the thrill hammer will cost you $2,000 and it weighs 700 pounds. So I guess if you do it by the pound, it's a pretty good deal. Or a piece of art, if you'd like to say that.
Why is there somebody getting dental work at the bottom of this list?
Well, I believe the list is from crack.com, and the caption for the female dentist is "Open wide, my replacement piston isn't going to pay for itself." So this thing is actually run on some sort of piston system. So there you go. Those are the 14 luxury sex toys.
Did you know that they used to treat women for hysteria by masturbating?
You know, I found that works.
Back in the 1900s, early 1900s.
I know I'm far less hysterical after I do that.
Right? Yeah.
Some old school medicine things actually do work.
A little dabble, do you?
Man, I wish I would have been a doctor back then.
Listen, we're going to need you to go ahead. I'm going to need you. No. Let me watch. Hold on. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong.
No, the doctor actually did it for her.
Well, then that's not masturbation at
yeah,
all.
Yes, it is.
That's not. No, it's not. Masturbation is pleasuring yourself.
That's not true.
No, but it is.
Then what about mutual masturbation when you each get each other off? Well, I want you to look it up. Google the term. God damn you.
This is really great pod here.
You know what?
Man,
you
we
shut
have
up.
Gone from football to Herman
masturbation.
To masturbation.
Look, we cover everything on the show. That's what we do. It according to Wikipedia. Oh well, it's non-penetrative sex.
That's what I thought. Because you can masturbate your partner. I thought mutual masturbation, right? Lay next to each other. You grab his thing. He touches your thing. Everyone's a winner.
That's true. It's a good old fashioned hand job. Anyway, moving on. It's not sex, but a rich guy, the Indian Spice King, went on a naked rampage at the Four Seasons.
We've had a lot of naked rampages lately.
I know. And I'm going to New York, so I'm not going to the Four Seasons because I don't want to see this. Indian Spice King, I'm not going to even try and pronounce his name, went on a bizarre rampage at the famed Midtown Hotel, traipsing naked through the workout facility after sucking down tequila and then taunting police, law enforcement. Sources told the Post, it's a New York Post, the public peep show drew a barrage of guest complaints. Shocker. But he was spared arrest despite locking himself in his 15th floor room and forcing cops to drag him to a nearby psych ward. Now, this is where the story gets fun. Sources said that he barked at Midtown North officers to, quote, "suck my $1 million cock." Though he insisted to the Post that the comment was, in fact, "suck my $57 million dick."
And the difference is what?
The difference is $56 million and a D and a C.
Oh.
Dick and a cock.
Okay.
He was going dick, not cock, because he is a man of class.
Of course he is.
And $57 million is just to let everybody know that he is the 1%. Mm-hmm. Guests in the luxury hotel got immediate indigestion at the sight of his stark naked at the health club around 11 a.m. 11 a.m. He's running around drunk.
He was still partying the night before.
He said that he was in the steam room. You know y'all get nervous when y'all see brown asses running around.
I was in my underwear with the music playing, ready to rock, and the next thing I know, I'm being escorted out by two female police officers. One had a gun pointed at me.
He opened the door for me. I'm talking about peekaboo.
I like that they sent two women cops in.
Well, you know, he notices those things because, and the New York Post has referred to him as the Nutty Meg Man. So, yeah,
it's a nutmeg joke.
It is.
He flashed his cock at him. So, must not have been big enough because they arrested him.
All right. Well, he's Indian. He's not black, Kareem.
And India is a lot closer to Asia than it is to Africa.
Oh, so true. Take that, Cal Penn. Kumar. That's terrible. Let's interject some class into this, shall we? NPR. Let's. NPR. Everybody loves NPR.
Yes.
I don't, but everybody else. Everybody who likes to think they're better than you loves NPR. So NPR is trying to be hip, which they really shouldn't do, and... All things considered, went to the 11, this is for 11-11-11, so it's from a few weeks ago. These are the songs that are best heard extra loud, or go to 11, as Nigel
like
said
in Spinal Tap.
And I hadn't heard any of these, or I hadn't heard most of these, so let's start with number 11. This is a song called Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers. Oh, I'm sorry, that's still Shaft. My God,
I was like, this sounds familiar.
I know.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Road runner, road runner.
Okay, it sucks so far.
Miles an hour.
Let me try it a little louder.
Gonna drive past the Stop and Shop.
No, it still sucks.
With the radio on.
I'll give it a little bit more.
I'm in love with the modern world. Massachusetts when it's late at night.
Okay, he's not even singing. This song blows. Louder is not better with this one.
I don't get it.
You keep this up, I ain't going to know how to dance when I leave it.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy. All right, let's move on. Number 10, this is LCD Sound System and a song called All I Want. Okay.
How are these heavy rocking songs?
Since you were gone, it's Kelly Clarkson. No, it's not. No, it's the songs that should be played loud. It's what they're saying.
Is that like a clarinet?
No, it's feedback. Designed to be in there. Their album is called This Is Happening. You know what else is happening? I'm turning you down. 0-2, NPR. All right. This one, Kareem, you might be more into. This is Outkast and a song, B.O.B.
Definitely.
See, that I can get playing loud.
I don't think you could play it soft. Doesn't work. Yeah, see? Doesn't work soft.
See, that's the first one that's made me move in my seat.
All right, so moving things along. And
okay,
who is that?
I grew back.
That's Outkast.
Okay, I like that.
That's Outkast. Moving on, this will probably bring everything to a screeching halt. It's Brian Eno. Song's called Third Uncle. Okay. All right. Okay, NPR, it's a bass line. Dun da dun da dun da dun 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 da dun da dun da dun.
It's gonna explode in a minute. Wait for it.
Or not. All right, moving on. This is I mentioned Kelly Clarkson. It's actually Kelly Clarkson. So I do not hook up.
Oh, sweetheart, put the bottle down. You got too much talent. I see you through those bloodshot eyes. There's a cure, you found it. Slow motion sparks you.
I could see if you were into Kelly Clarkson, like in your room, cranking that up with your girls.
I can see if you're an angry chick driving around that you would want to do that. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I'll buy that. I don't care for it, but did you notice how I hit the post on that song?
If I was a lonely white woman, I'd probably listen to it.
There you go. Do you notice how I hit that on the talk up? Yeah, it's professionalism.
Excellent.
Professionalism, kids. Moving on, this is The Smiths.
Oh, yeah. Now this I can crank up and do at my house.
The song's called How Soon Is Now from The Sound of The Smiths.
And it is really good loud.
It has its moments.
This was used for The Craft or one of those kind of movies, yeah. I think.
So I will give this...
Or Charmed, maybe? The show Charmed?
I'll give it an okay on the list, but...
It's a good song. That song, good song I like. Yeah.
Here's the problem I have with it. That wow, wow sound.
We need to get to the chorus.
Think about... we'll try and vamp till we get to the chorus. Think about how your head feels the morning after when you've got a hangover and you can actually feel light waves in your eyes. This is the audible conversion of that feeling inside my brain. That right there, right in my brain. All right,
it's like in the super loud with your candles, dark room, just like pounding it out, like just going crazy and dancing.
Okay, goth girl.
Yeah. My goth moment.
All right, this is a band called Justice, song called Phantom. I've never heard this before. I think this is more if you're gay.
It's techno-y.
I'm not turning this up anywhere. Because all this says is, I'm down to party with the boys. Moving on, Elastica. Song called Annie.
You know, I get that one.
Yeah.
You know the best part about that song? It's only a minute and 14 seconds long. That is the best part of it. All right, so we're moving sort of in the right...
I like that one. I could get into that.
Can you?
Yeah.
Well, can you get into this, Mel?
Yes, I can. That sounds like Ramones.
By the way to talk up the song. You hit it. I'm rubbing off on Mel. The radio professionalism is rubbing off in the
Heck
room.
Heck yeah.
Except for the singing along.
Oh,
I feel really black right now.
Well, you should. Hold on 1 second. All right, moving on, because I don't want to hold it up. Number two, this band called The Exploding Hearts. I don't know what this is. This song is called Modern Kicks. I'll turn it up for a second. Is it the 80s? I think NPR is stuck in the 80s. Because everything sounds like it's in an
80s British rock.
Yeah, it's like it's in a Revenge of the Nerds movie, is where I'm placing all this stuff. All right, now, this one I would not have suspected because it doesn't really fit in with any of the others. This is number one on NPR's list of songs that should be played loud.
Cashmere.
Oh, yeah.
I get this.
I think this is where black and white come together at Led Zeppelin. I'm not a huge Led Zeppelin fan, but this is one of their songs that I really, really like. That I never get tired of.
Except who's singing this?
It's Robert Plant. Are you fishing for what I say about Robert Plant?
No, it just sounds weird. Maybe it's through the headphones.
Oh, I'm sorry, it is. It's a band called Les Zeppelin. So it's a lesbian. It's a lesbian that sounds a lot like Robert Plant. You know why? Because Led Zeppelin, not on Spotify. So we'll turn that out. But
at least I'm not crazy. You were about to just totally make fun of me. And I was like, that does not sound right.
Wasn't that song, Enter the Sandman, should be on this list?
It's an NPR list.
Yeah,
so.
Like why would there not be like Metallica and, you know. Yeah.
Well, because it's NPR. And I think that goes back to the point that NPR...
It has to be smart, loud music.
Well, yeah. I don't think NPR is your source for great music or anything of that nature. All right. So it's time...
And you only have one hip-hop song on the list? Are you serious?
It's their list, not mine. All right.
I think we could come up with a better list.
Mel, it's time for that segment on the show. You know the one we like?
I do.
What's it called?
Cool.
Hey.
Tool.
Whoa. All right, this cooler tool. I know we're a little later in the show with these, but hey, what the hell? NPR for their list of songs you could turn up loud. Cooler tool, Mel.
Suck. Big pile of suck. Tool.
I will go with Tool. Kareem?
Tool.
Yeah, I figured you'd say that. NPR. Let me just say this about NPR. I appreciate the hole that NPR fills in people's lives, people who feel the need to talk down to other people, people who like to listen to things that are boring, because, you know, drowsy driving is the same as drunk driving, and if you're listening to NPR in your car, you're probably very drowsy. That's really all I'm going to say about it. So I'm going to go Tool as well. Okay, number two on the on the cooler tool, the rich drunk guy who was running naked and clarifying his quotes in the paper. Kareem, you want to go first on this one?
Cool.
Exactly. He is so fucking cool because that dude, you know who he is? He's the guy that Richard.
He's the fucking Spice King.
He is. He is the guy that the guy who's married to Katy Perry. What's that fucking guy's name? I hate that guy.
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. He's the guy Russell Brand wants to be in all the movies. That's the character Russell Brand wants you to believe he is. That's who that guy is. He's an asshole, but that's cool. Mel.
Yeah. You know. Eccentric is cool. I'm down with eccentric, and I don't mind rich eccentric. You know, again, if you have it, do it. This guy, however, douchebag. I can't give him a cool. I have to give him a tool because he was a douche about it. Now, you know, if he had run around naked and he'd been funny and he'd had a sense of humor about it, I'd be all right with that. But he was a douche and a rich uppity douche. Well, so he can go fuck himself.
Well, I love the fact that he clarified his quote about how I was.
Yeah, that put me over.
And me too, but in the other direction. So I thought that was awesome. All right. And spending hundreds of dollars on a butt plug, Mel?
Cool in that it's your right, and if that's what you want to spend your money on and you have the money to spend on it, God bless you.
You know, we're just a little bit out from Veterans Day, and I like to think that's why we stormed the beaches at Normandy, for your right to have a $900 butt plug. Kareem.
Amen.
It is, in fact, a tool. It's a sex tool. you know what? You're only doing that to brag to yourself. I mean,
same with cars and same with everything else. I just think if everybody's a right to buy what they want with their money.
Is it the ultimate thing?
You know, I would like a really nice diamond bezeled, you know, watch that's, you know.
I thought you were going to say vibrator.
Yes, I would like.
to put in your butt.
You know, I think just everybody has the things that they're into and they want the best version or the nicest version or the most technically made. You know, people want nice watches with the most perfect timing. So they want the coolest car that's rare and hard to find. And, you know, if sex toys is your thing, you should be able to spend your money on it.
Okay.
But I get your tool.
No, that's fine. All right, moving on.
I don't get your tool. I get your tool.
I was talking about this. I don't know how I went into Bill Cosby there. That was terrible. Dr. Cosby, forgive me.
It didn't sound like Cosby. It sounded like Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis and Bill Cosby. Anyway, moving on, it's time for, I like to call it listener mail, but it's not. It's really spammers who've made it through the filter at Rocket Mail. This comes to us from Mira Paley. It's addressed, "Dear friend, I am Mrs. Mira Paley. I have been suffering from ovarian cancer disease, and the doctor says I have just a few days to leave."
Again, I'd like to reiterate the fact that if they're going to do this, somebody should freaking spell check and make sure it's literate.
Well, it's phonetic. "I am from Tbilisi, Georgia, but based in Burkina Faso, Africa, since 15 years ago as a businesswoman dealing with gold exploration." Well, it's good that she has a backstory. "Now that I am about to end the race like this without any family members and no child. I have $3 million, and that it's spelled out in case you don't know what that means, in Africa Development Bank, ADB, Burkina Faso, which I instructed the bank to give St. Andrew's Missionary Home in Burkina Faso. But my mind is not at rest because I am writing this letter now through the help of my computer beside my sick bed."
I like that she felt the need to explain that.
I also have $4,500,000 US dollars at Banque Commerciale du Burkina here in Burkina Faso, and I've instructed a bank to transfer the money to the first foreigner that will apply to the bank after I've gone. Well, that was nice of her. That they should release the fund to him/her, but you will assure me that you will take 50% of the money and give 50% to the orphanages home in your country for my heart to rest.
Idiot.
I pray to God, and God is in all caps, to bless you as you make up your mind to accomplish my will.
It just doesn't make any sense. These things are so stupid, and they annoy me to no end.
You are to contact the bank through this email address, and I'm not going to read it. Yours, fairly friend, Madam Mira Paley. And it comes to us from an email address at voila.fr. So what's going on with the French? So this is the second one like that. We have another one. This one is from Mrs. Dahlia Aban. My greetings to you. I am writing this letter in confidence. Everybody's writing in confidence.
Believing they just send it out to millions of people in mass generically.
Believing that
confidentially.
If it is the wish of God for you to help me and my family, God Almighty will bless and reward you abundantly, and you would never regrate this.
I regrate it already.
you regrate it. I am a female student from the Federal Republic of Burkina Faso University Teaching Hospital. Oh, for God's sake. What is going on? If the Nigerians just picked another random African country so that they think we won't catch on to what they're doing.
Well, somebody's sending them money. That's why they keep sending the shit out.
I'm not going to read through the whole thing. It's the same idea. It's dad died, blah, 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 seek help, not old enough to have knowledge. This is my reason of contacting you is to seek help from you. I am not old enough to have some knowledge of investment. I do not want my father kindred to put eye over what belonged to my father because I am a female according to African tradition.
What?
I don't know. But it's according to African tradition, so it must be true. And she mentioned God a bunch of times. I love that she's too young, but she's Mrs. I know it's a different culture, can't judge. It's going to the delete pile. But that's our email from around the world. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You know what I really love is now with the new setup, when you pull stuff up, the computer is so close to me that all of a sudden crazy shit pops up out of the corner of my eye all through the show. I look over and I'm like, what?
We move from topic to
prostate
topic.
Prostate massager, what?
No, that's gone. This was a story that made me, and I'm sure Kareem as well, cringe. And here's the headline for you. Testicle bite woman Maria Topp given suspended sentence.
Yes, I love that she's testicle that. Bite woman.
Testicle bite woman. That's the worst superhero ever. A mother of four who admitted biting her boyfriend's scrotum.
Really, he should be testicle bite man. She's testicle biting woman.
Bitch is crazy.
Yeah. She admitted to biting her boyfriend's scrotum during a drunken row.
Hey, she didn't bite it off, nor did she put it in the disposal, so she's ahead of the game.
Okay, let's not get too complimentary. He needed 19 stitches to close a wound on his scrotum. That's a lot of his ball sack looks like a baseball.
Was she pretending she was a pit bull?
And his testicle was totally exposed, right?
Yeah, let's see. Let's go down to that part of the article. They have had sort of an off and on relationship with some issues. Shocking, I know. So they've been in a relationship for 5 years. They'd been drinking at the time of the attack.
No.
She doesn't remember.
What?
Now, it's not clear what sparked the violence between the couple in the early hours back in February. Police were called.
Apparently he was trying to slap her in the face with his testicles.
Well, he should have done it harder. Police were called and found Mr. Douglas with a wound to his scrotum, which had left one of his testicles exposed. Oh. She bit clean through the sack. Clean through.
I don't even have a sack, and that makes me cringe.
Oh. Okay.
They should put her in a fucking psychiatric ward. That's some biting if you're going to bite somebody's nuts.
Oh, my God.
I just playfully nip at Paul's arm, and he gets freaked out. He's never going to let me near his sack again with my mouth if I'm threatening him.
Oh, hell no.
So the court reporter referred to the couple's turbulent relationship and said the pair must have been, quote, blind drunk after a sustained drinking session. He said to her, "You bit his scrotum with enough force to rip his skin."
I just want to know why they were drunk fighting and his pants were down and her face was near a sack. I mean, that's a lot of things to have to happen.
Well, maybe she was pretending like she was apologizing for being wrong.
Maybe.
I don't know what went down there, but I do know that that is short of cutting off the member. That's one of the most awful things I've read in a long time.
I'm gonna tell you a story real quick.
Oh, good. It's story time with Kareem.
From back home, from North Carolina. So there was this lady whose husband used to get, when he would get drunk, he would whoop her. We would beat her ass.
Okay.
So one night, he got drunk and he beat her. And then he passed out. And she sewed his ass up in a sheet. And then she took one of those big cast iron skillets and commenced to whoop his ass with.
Oh, my word.
He woke up in the middle of the ass whooping and he got one arm out, which he probably should have kept in. Because she hit him on that arm and broke it in like three places.
Oh, yeah. Those cast iron skillets will do some damage.
Good for her. She'd had enough. So she had grown weary.
So maybe he was doing more than we think.
Well, I'm sure.
But if I just beat your ass, I am not putting my nuts nowhere near your face.
Right?
Right.
I'm just so opposed to people that solve, I use the term loosely in air quotes, solve their problems this way. The girls that throw the guy's property into the yard, burn their clothes, people that have to hit each other. If it's not working, leave. And I realize these people were super drunk, so of course they're idiots. But I don't understand why you have to hit somebody or destroy their property to end a relationship. Can't you just end it without doing all that?
You could.
I know. Yeah.
But people
Silly
are crazy.
Me.
People are crazy. Oh, I have to quickly tell a story.
That plus, crazy coochie is the best coochie.
Kareem. When I was working in radio, I was doing the afternoon shift, and the guy doing the midday shift, Mike, and I forget his last name right now, and it doesn't matter. I came in, and the boss was doing Mike's air shift, and I'm like, what's going on? It was kind of weird, and he's like, oh, Mike had to leave. Well, come to find out, Mike had to leave, and it was a very cold and rainy day. It was like 40 degrees and raining, fall in northern Vermont. And Mike lived about 25 miles from the radio station. And Mike got to work, and just as he got to work, as he was starting his shift, his live-in girlfriend called and told him that if he wanted his shit, that he better come and get it because she was putting it all out on the front lawn.
See, that's fucked up.
It is, because you wait until, I mean, he was home a half hour before. You could have just said, hey, asshole, get your stuff, get out, we're done. But no, she waits.
No, because people are fucked up and vindictive.
Passive aggressive. And just like, so he got home and I talked to him after. Because 25 miles, that takes a while to get there. And she had already started. So it wasn't like she called him and was like, I'm getting ready to do it. Ha ha. She probably had half of his stuff out there already. He got home and he's like, all of my stuff was soaked, dude. It was soaked all the way through.
That sucks.
His only quote unquote dry clothes were the clothes he had as he was picking up his soaking wet clothes out on the front lawn where she had also put his stereo. And we're talking about a time when a man's stereo was his life.
That's calls for ass whooping right there.
I had all my stuff held for ransom once. Somebody changed the locks on the property and held all my stuff for ransom, made me pay all sorts of money and shit to get my stuff back. It was a nightmare.
Wow. That's
a nightmare.
You didn't pull your gun out on him?
Yeah.
It was another cop.
Oh, shit. Okay, that makes sense. Right,
it was cop on cop. Who are you going to call? Who are you going to tell? Okay. Two different departments, too. So don't you do it. Don't you fucking do it, Nate, darling. I'm watching you, you motherfucker.
This is stupid. I want to talk about vaginas.
All right, that's better.
All right, former porn star Sasha Grey took her talents to a far less adult audience. She visited an elementary school and read to students. And this has caused quite a stir. Lots of complaints to the school. And at first, they denied that she had even been there. And then TMZ came out with a picture showing that she was actually there. So that's kind of the whole thing is a former porn star, and she has retired from the adult film industry. She's been in mainstream movies. She did her last.
She hasn't done porn for like years.
Two years.
See,
She played herself in the Entourage series, the final season, but the one before that.
If the kids, what kids were going to Google her and find out that she did porn?
Nobody would have known. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Right. You're talking about
parents. I mean, it's not like she was like Little Miss Muffet sat on a cock and tuppet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And she wasn't dressed in thigh highs and.
Might I add, Sacramento's own, Sasha Grey.
Yeah.
And she has said she's not going to back out of the National Elementary School Reading Program, claiming she will, quote, not live in fear of her triple X past.
Good for her.
So good for her. You know what?
It makes me think of the, when the Capital Christian Center kicked out the stripper's kid.
Yeah, you want to tell people just get over it.
Yes.
You know, people need to stop looking at what people do away from where they're doing it. You're talking about elementary school kids. She's just somebody who went to Compton, where not a lot of people who look like Sasha Gray are going to roll in to just read to kids and go, you know, just volunteer their time and A, volunteer their time, B, read to kids, and just do it to do it, to be part of a program. You know, it's ridiculous. And,
you know, the funny thing is, like it is with so many things, she's out. You know, people know who she is because her profession was known. Imagine all the other sick fuckers that are reading to the kids that nobody knows the sick shit they do at their houses.
Right.
Like Sandusky.
Right? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Kareem says allegedly back allegedly. Off the other side.
You know, it's all like all the religious right people are like, gay is bad, no gay marriage, and then they're finding boys in airport bathrooms. So, you know.
There's a lot of hypocrisy going on, and basically people need to just settle the hell down. It's somebody, unless they're doing something inappropriate with your children or around your children, settle down. Your kids have the internet. They'll find out whatever, whenever. And I might give you a pass to be upset if it was the teacher that was doing it, the one who was around your kids all the time. But to do it on somebody who's coming in and volunteering like that, settle down, relax, and what's up? You know?
And even then, I mean, if I found, you know, if the teacher has found a new career path and years ago did porn and now she's teaching kids and she's committed to it. I mean, people have a right to find themselves and have a new life.
Why are you being such a nosy asshole that you're looking up her past?
Right. Is she a good teacher? Then okay.
Well, I mean, it's not hard to look up.
And everybody
Sasha
has
Gray.
And everybody has skeletons and everybody's made mistakes. I mean, that's like, I mean.
Yeah, but your kids aren't. Elementary schools aren't.
Right.
You know.
No, the kids aren't. And this is.
And I don't think she probably didn't go in with her porn name.
Well, that's her. I don't know what she went in with, but either way, it doesn't matter. When I first heard the story, I'm like, oh my God, which, you know, soccer mom, SUV driving, uppity woman is all up about this. And then I read that it was in Compton. I'm like, oh, that's a whole different sort of angry woman complaining about who's coming in to read to her babies. Mm. It's very, very different.
If she read to her babies at home, they wouldn't have to bring Sasha Gray in.
That's a fair point, a very fair point. And on that fair point, it's time for the last segment of our show every week. It's time for Small Town News.
Small Town News, Small Town News. Everybody loves us, Small Town News.
Now, Small Town News normally originates from Orleans County, Vermont, where I hail from. This it's Dateline St. Johnsbury, Vermont, which is in Caledonia County, which is one county over. But there are some principals who are from Orleans County, so I'm counting it.
I think it counts.
It does count. This headline is, Man Pays Brother to Beat Him Up.
That is amazing. I don't even care what the story is about. That's an amazing headline.
Dateline St. Johnsbury, a Hardwick man has been accused of stealing more than $4,000 from his employer and trying to cover it up by paying his brother to punch him in the face.
Wow. I need more information, please.
Before I move on, Hardwick is the town. Every place that you're from, there's a town where there's a joke like this, and the joke goes like this. Why do the pigeons fly upside down over Hardwick?
Why?
Because there's nothing worth shitting on there. It applies to wherever you're from. There's one town like that. Anyway, Dave Manning pleaded not guilty to a felony charge of embezzlement and a misdemeanor count of false information to a police officer in Caledonia Superior Court Criminal Division. Manning was released on conditions, but Judge Kathleen Manley set bail for his two co-defendants. His girlfriend, Michelle Diet, who's 19, and of Greensboro, was charged with felony counts of possession of stolen property and accessory after the fact. She pleaded not guilty to both charges and was released on $5,000 unsecured bond. Her mother, now she's 19, her mother, Christina Thompson, different last name, who is 34. Let's do the math on that
wait,
for a second.
Wait, what?
She is 19, her mother is 34.
Oh, shit.
Do the math.
Gross.
15. Babies having babies. Ew. So her mother pleaded not guilty to a felony charge of accessory after the fact and was led from the courtroom in handcuffs after the judge set bail at $5,000 cash. So she didn't get out. The state's attorney argued for the cash bail, citing her lengthy criminal record, shocker, which includes 8 prior felony convictions and multiple misdemeanors, including 2 previous failures to appear. Wow. Ah, that's the one right there.
That's my mom.
Oh, mom. She was listed as an inmate in the Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility in South Burlington. According to an affidavit, Manning called police at 8:30 p.m. to report that he was an employee at the Perry Oil gas station and he had just been robbed. Manning told investigators that he was walking on Wolcott Street on his way to making the night deposit when he was assaulted by a male suspect wearing a black ski mask, a black hooded sweatshirt, and jeans.
It's not the stupidest plan in the world.
It's been done.
Yeah.
He told police the suspect punched him in the side of the face and took 2 bank bags containing more than $4,200 in cash and checks and fled the scene. However, cops said they became suspicious of his story after the canine did not alert to the scent other than Manning's at the scene of the alleged robbery. Investigators said further suspicions were raised when Manning changed the details of his story and, quote, became agitated and left the interview after being asked if he would take a polygraph test.
See, you got to believe your own story.
Yeah, you got to be down with your own story. So that's it. When police contacted Christina Thompson, she's the mom. She denied being involved with the theft from Perry Oil, but admitted she was in the van on the night of the robbery and had gone to pick up diapers at the Hardwick Grand Union and returned to her residence. Hey!
They're all related. It's wonderful.
I was picking up diapers. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
While we were picking up our money.
Wow.
Everybody loves a small town
news. The question that isn't answered, the diapers she's picking up, is the 19-year-old a mom, or is this for another baby that she has had?
Okay, I'm going to vomit in my mouth.
So that's small town news. Wow. Crazy stuff, huh?
Yeah, the sad thing is it's just so fucking common.
Small
yeah.
Hey, that's what... You ain't got nothing else to do in a small town but fuck.
Right?
So it's babies having babies, and it's the problem everywhere. And just in case anyone's feeling all racist, these are all white people. Because it's Vermont.
That's right.
And stupid crimes and doing dumb things and
if
things
Larry
like that.
If Larry was here, he'd make some joke about them buying their diapers with maple syrup.
He would. And that's why I'm glad he's in Spain. I hope he's having fun in Spain. Anyway, thanks for coming in, Kareem.
No problem.
Our friend
Kareem, always fun.
Our friend Kareem Daniels sitting in on the show. Check him out around town doing some stand-up and some other things.
Heck yeah.
So if you see Kareem Daniels is on the bill, you know you're going to get something smart and funny.
That's right.
Indeed.
Oh.
Oh, what? You can't tease like that.
I have a website that I'm working on called searchingforblackjesus.com.
Nice.
Searching for Black Jesus.
Should be up by the end of the year.
Oh, awesome. searchingforblackjesus.com. I like it. I look forward to checking that out. Mel?
Yes?
Now that it is after Thanksgiving, isn't there some sort of lady business show or something that you've got coming up?
You know, it's the third Saturday of every month.
Oh.
The third Saturday of every month. Please don't make me look at the date because I might bang my head on the mic, but I could tell you the date.
No, it's okay. You can look it up.
Third Saturday of every month. We actually, I'm trying to think. So yeah, third Saturday of every month. It never moves.
That's right. And that's Lady Business. It's an all lady improv show.
That's right.
At the Sacramento.
Come see my Lady Business.
Comedy spot.
Ooh,
they do it at 8 o'clock on Saturdays.
Meow.
So check that out. Hey, thanks everybody for listening to the Nate Darling Show, whether you're in the U.S. or somewhere else around the world that isn't as cool as we are. Haha, just kidding.
Hey, hi, Australia. We haven't talked about you in a while. We miss you. Get all your friends to listen.
Yeah, I don't know. What's up with Australia. I haven't seen a lot from there lately. I'm going full-on jingoistic from now on. Screw the rest of the world. No, I'm just kidding. Tell your friends about us. If you're listening on iTunes, go ahead and write a review. That would be awesome. Just a line or two about how much you like it.
And send us questions.
You can send us
Rocket
questions.
Mail.
There's if you're on NateDarlingShow.com, we'll have the email address right there, so you can just look it up there. We have show merchandise available. You can buy T-shirts. You can buy stickers if you would like.
And you should.
There's time for Christmas. If you tell the people you love, hey, I'd like a T-shirt because these guys are really effing cool.
They make great stocking stuffers.
And yeah, they do. And I have my shirt and I've washed it once and it still looks incredibly awesome. It looks unwashed.
Yeah.
Not unwashed, dirty. It just looks like untouched. So anyway, that's it. Check out NateDarlingShow.com for all of the latest on the show. Next week, I'm going to be in New York, so we're going to be recording early again with myself and Mel and a mystery guest, so you'll have to...
Ooh, mystery guest. Bom, bom.
Don't know who it is yet, but that'll be part of the fun. So everybody enjoy your December, and we will talk to you next week.
See you soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you.